Okay. So welcome. You have joined us for Sufism Explained, Explored, and Experienced with our beloved co-president of the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism, also a faculty member and chair of the Department of Spiritual Ministry and Sufi Studies, Salima Adelstein. Welcome, Salima.
Thank you, Mr.
It's always a pleasure and an honor to have Salima here. Salima is, this is her beauty that exudes from her being. If you've ever been in a room with Salima, been present with her, you know when she speaks of this topic, you can feel the love that she speaks of. It's that, if you read the blog post I wrote today, which may have been a little bit esoteric and maybe even a little cryptic, but it's that mystical, beautiful essence that emanates from her being when she speaks of this topic. It's so much a part of her and a part of who she is. It's an honor to receive from her in this way, because when she speaks of it, it's just like, you know, it gives you the transmission, it gives you the download, and you feel and experience the beauty just through her explanation. So we're honored to have Salima presenting this to us today. And I just want to say one more thing about that. If you have not had an opportunity to be in a room with Salima, there are opportunities available, and, you know, if you feel so called, I would suggest you take that opportunity, because it's quite a gift. And with that, Salima, I'll turn it over to you and let you get started.
Thank you, and welcome, everybody. I'm really excited to share with you what is Sufism and give you an experience, or what we call a tasting of Sufism. The particular form of Sufism that I'm going to be talking about, or the particular path, is the Shadhiliya Sufism. It was founded in Morocco in the 13th century by a man named Shadhiliya, who was a student of a Sufi master who was the pole, or the what's known as the Qutb of his time. His name was Ibn Mashish. The story of Shadhiliya will give you a little understanding of why this path is important. It's really a path for seekers of truth, because Sufism is really a science of the direct knowing of God. And Shadhiliya himself was a seeker of truth, and really a lover of God, and wanting to be a Gnostic, a true one who understood and lived a life in God. So he searched about all over to find this perfect master, or a pole, as he was known at the time. And everywhere he went, he studied with some of the great Sufi masters all around the country, and each time he learned new knowledge and took that knowledge with him as he studied with another great teacher, and each time asking this teacher, well, who is the pole of our time? Who is the Qutb, is the Arabic word for it, the Qutb of our time, the one who has the highest knowledge? And he'd go from teacher to teacher till one of his teachers said, the person that you're seeking lives up in the mountain, right in the town where you were born. So Shadhiliya did this whole journey only to journey back home. And there's a nice symbolism or metaphor in that we look all over for something that's right inside of us, that's home all along. And that's the place within our heart. So Shadhiliya traveled to the base of this mountain to find the Qutb, the pole, his next teacher, Mashish. And he did something called wudu, which is a ritual purification, where he kind of washed his hands and his mouth and the type of purification that one does before worship. And as he's doing this purification practice known as wudu, when he finished, he started to climb up the mountain. As he's climbing up the mountain, he's, you know, getting some dirt and getting exhausted from the trek up the mountain. And he finally sees his teacher, Mashish, at the top of the mountain. He's about ready to meet him and announces that he wants to be his student. And his teacher, Mashish, says to him, "No, go back down the mountain and do wudu again." This happened three different times where he would go back up and down the mountain doing this purification of his limbs. And each time, Mashish would send him back down. Finally, on the third time, he started to wake up a little, and he said, "Oh, I know what I have to do. I have to empty myself of everything that I've learned before so that I have room in my heart for new knowledge and to be taught." So this time when he did wudu, when he did the ritual purification, he made it a point of not only just washing on the outer, but washing on the inner and letting his heart be purified of all that he had learned before. So his heart became an empty vessel. And this time when he climbed up the mountain, his teacher Mashish met him halfway, greeted him and welcomed him, and he stayed in retreat with his teacher until he was ready to go out into the world and teach and become what we call in Sufism the tree of the love. Shadaliya, Sufism is really about the people who want to be brought near to God, who carry a message of unity, a message of love and peace and mercy and justice and freedom. Why? So that all people can live in happiness without exception, without discrimination between people, whether they're black, white, yellow. Allah says in his Holy Quran, "O people, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes so that you may know and love one another." This is a very profound quote because it really gives us not only a sense of what Sufism is, but it really is the medicine for all the ills of our society. It gives us the path or the journey home to return to God. It gives us tools to remember who we are and what we're doing here in this earth now. What we have to understand is that the essence of this life that we live is really built on love. It's built on mercy. It's built on peace. God didn't create humanity to punish humanity. God didn't create the creation to put people in misery. In Sufism, we believe that Allah, as the name that we use for God, created this creation to make us live in happiness. I'm going to repeat that because it's an important concept, that Allah created this creation to help us live in happiness. That's why Allah is called and named himself the merciful, the compassionate, the subtle, the loving. These are all what we call the qualities of God. And more fundamentally, these are the names of love. These names of love are very precise so that we can learn in this life how to carry the love, how to give it, and how to spread it among ourselves and our nation so that all humanity can become happy in this life. This is what real peace on earth is about. The Fadhiliya Sufi teachings, wake up the hearts who are sleeping. The Sufis say, to become the son or the daughter of your moment, to not worry about tomorrow, because it's only in the present, in the now, that we can belong completely to God. So the walking, as we call it in the Sufi way, this journey home, is the opening of your heart, because it's the heart that has the keys to this journey. It's the heart that can become a clear mirror that gives us the reflection of who we are. This heart oftentimes, through our experiences in our life, becomes rusted over, or what we call veiled. And the process of purification is to help us clean or purify these veils so that the heart becomes this clear mirror, so that we can see ourselves and know why we're here and what we're meant to be doing. The Sufi's ultimate goal is to know the divine, to become one with God, to dissolve all else so that our being is focused on love, because love is the uniting force. And here I'm talking about, and perhaps at another time we'll do another class on love, but really talking about the unconditional love, not the human love that can be very fickle at times. The love I'm talking about is the love of God that's unconditional. And in that, we know that everything comes from God and everything ultimately returns to God. The Sufi way, we say, is a path of love. And in order to walk this path, the seeker needs a teacher, someone who's walked the way, someone who's walked the path, who knows the way, knows its traps, its pitfalls, its obstacles, knows the easy way, if you will, someone who's steeped in the love of God. The seeker also needs support and companionship, friends that encourage and remind us of who we are. So the path and the goal is love and beauty. We have a saying in Sufism that says, when God created you, God made beauty. This beauty comes from an Arabic word, it's called ihsan, which comes from the root word husan, which means beauty or grace, to approach, to live, to carry out everything in the most beautiful way possible. Ihsan also means to worship God as if you saw God, even if you cannot see God, know that God sees you. So this quality, this ihsan, is about the sincere worship of God, where knowledge and will completely merges with the divine. So we say that our will and God's will become one. The Sufis say that you think you're a small star, when in fact, you comprise the entire universe. So it's this relationship between the macro and the micro that helps the human being understand its perfect image, its image of its relationship to the universe. When we look at nature, we find so many manifestations of harmony and balance and peace. You know, I have a creek by my home, and I was down there this morning, and just to the bubble, the gurgle of the water as it's running through the rocks was a beautiful, peaceful kind of sign, watching the turtles kind of be in harmony with their surroundings, creating a balance in nature. These are all manifestations and reminders to us of the harmony and the balance and the peace that's possible within us, because our core, our essence, our inner light point to this one reality, this reality of peace and balance. And to do this, one of the keys is that we begin to fall in love with ourselves, with our eternal divine nature that vibrates in our center. One of the reasons that Arabic language is used in Sufism is because of the vibration that it carries. And that vibration has an effect on our inner being. It allows us to begin to wake up and experience this oneness, this inner reality. The other aspect of Sufism that's important in the explanation is that it's characterized by spiritual people seeking to follow in the footsteps of the prophets Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and all the 124,000 of prophets that were sent to every people in every nation. And the characteristic is to try to emulate their lifestyles and the lifestyles of their companions, to transform our lower nature into our more divine nature. And we do that through role models or examples of the prophets and the companions that came before. Sufism seeks to educate people so that you'll set your heart on God. The Arabic word for heart is qalb, and it means to turn, because our hearts are always turning this way and that way, out to the world or into some pain, or one way or the other, it keeps turning back and forth. And the education is setting your heart so it's facing God, so it's burning with the love for God. It focuses on the proper conduct, if you will, or high moral, sort of the golden rule, as some people know it, where we want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves. And it's a way of spiritual purity. So we're always looking at how can we purify, how can we gain the knowledge so that our lower nature is transformed into our higher nature. So the Sufis are seeking knowledge and seeking to reach this destination, this journey home, through the knowledge of God, we call the Marifa. And it's really those who've committed themselves to want to be brought near. There are many characteristics of the Sufi path, and some of those characteristics are what we call tauba, or return. In all the workshops and seminars that I do, I always ask, is there anybody here that has never made a mistake? And so far, in all my years of teaching and meeting thousands and thousands of people, no one has said to me, no, I've never made a mistake in my life. So one of the characteristics of the path is the fact that we recognize that we need to return to God, that we need to find the place of forgiveness for the mistakes so that we can learn them, learn from them, and allow ourselves to turn and return. And that requires reflection. Reflection on our inner being. Reflection on seeing the signs that God places all around us as reminders of God's love and mercy. Sometimes it requires privacy and seclusion to do that reflection. Oftentimes, it requires some reflection on our awe of the awesomeness of God and our hope for something better for ourselves. A look at what our expectations are. A look at asceticism. What do we hold on to? What's really important to us? Another Arabic word I'll give you tonight is the word taqwa, the characteristic of exploring God consciousness. What does it mean in our daily life to have taqwa, to have God consciousness? Another characteristic is worship, the worship of God. To know and to recognize that we are servants of God and dedicating our life in that way to serve in that deep devotion with sincerity and a purity of our intention. Other characteristics in this exploration is a reliance, a dependency on not our will, but on what God's will is, which requires a surrender and a commitment to follow the laws that were brought down that help keep us what we call straight, you know, keep us without and without going into anything that's going to create hardship for us in a way that is not serving our highest and most precious being. And that's what helps instill a sense of confidence in what we do, in a good nature, and in a humility, which is some of the other characteristics. There's a truthfulness when we take the commit to a Sufi way. We're making a commitment to tell the truth, to be truthful in our dealings with people, to have modesty and thankfulness, to have patience, and to have certainty in this goodness that I talked about before, and this happiness, which requires insight and discernment, discerning what's the, we have many voices within our heads and within our being, you know, what is the voice that's going to bring us the highest and best good? And how do we discern those voices? That's one of the things that we teach you at the university, is that discernment, as well as help build these characteristics that I'm talking about tonight. The other characteristic is a sincerity, a serenity, and a peacefulness. That comes with a spiritual knowledge of God, or what we call Jesus. And that's where the love, and it's like an ecstatic kind of love comes, that allows our hearts to be deeply attracted to God. And it's that attraction that the Sufis say is that magnetic pull that brings you home, brings you on your journey home. What I'd like to explore now is, what are some of the aims or the benefits or the principles of Sufism? We say that the heart cannot have two doors. Either the door to the heart is open to the world, or the door to the heart is open to God. And in taking this journey home, you want to close the door to the world in the sense that you're not attached to things that are ever-changing, and open the door to take your journey to God, to the place that's never-changing. And that requires a spiritual self-discipline. And in that spiritual self-discipline, we want the heart to be purified so that all our senses and all our faculties are now pointing the way to God. So we say that our ears begin to hear the sounds of God's, the eyes begin to see as God sees, the hands begin to heal as God would heal, so that each of our senses, our nose begins to smell the fragrance of the divine. I remember when I first had, and many of you may have similar experiences, when I first had this experience, it kind of took me off guard. I was taking a hike and walking through a forest, and all of a sudden started smelling the fragrance of roses all around me. And I was talking with my friends, and they said, "Don't you smell the roses?" And they said, "No, Salima." And I said, "But it's all around. Can't you smell it? It's so beautiful. It's sending me into this beautiful state of love where I just, everywhere I turn, there is the face of God." And that's the purification of the senses that happens through, that are some of the benefits, if you will, that kind of happen in this walking, in this journey home. Sufism enables us to, through the constant worship and remembrance of God, to deepen our awareness of ourselves as servants or devotees or lovers of God. Sufis are known as lovers of God. There's a relationship between the lover and the beloved that Rumi talks so much about, and that we understand our role as God's servants here in this world. So it's not separating out from the world, but really being the Khalifa, God's vice regent here in this world. And this happens through our non-attachment to the transient material world, or our desires and emotions that keep us entangled, so that we're not able to awaken to the reality of the other worlds and then turn towards what are known as the beautiful names of God, the compassionate, the loving, the merciful, the wise, and on and on. Sufism allows you to discover the secrets and the treasures that are hidden inside your heart. It enables you to have a personal experience, not just an intellectual understanding, but a personal heartfelt, strong experience of your faith and your relationship with God. We call this in Sufism a tasting. The Prophet ﷺ, there's a story about the honey. The Prophet was with his companions, and he had a jar of liquid yellow substance. And he said to one of his companions, "What is this?" And the companion said, "Honey." And he turned to another, and he said, "Well, what is this?" And his companion said, "It's honey." And he turned to the third and said, "What is this?" And the third stuck his finger in the jar and tasted the yellow substance. And he said, "This is honey." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, he who tastes knows." So Sufism is the experience or the benefit, the principle, is that it's about tasting. It's about knowing through direct experience. And hopefully in a little while we're going to take you through some of those experiences. But I first wanted to give you a little sense of what are the principles, as we talked about the aims and the benefits, what are the principles of Sufism? Well, one of the first principles is the reaching the true belief in God's divine oneness and living in accordance with that. It's the overflowing with divine love so that we learn how to get along with all beings in the realization that this world was created from this divine love. And in that, each and every one of us is a brother and sister to each other. Can you imagine a world where we actually actualize this and live this? The kind of world I want to live in really would be heaven on earth. Another principle, which I talked about briefly, but I'm going to repeat it again, it's giving attention or preference to the well-being and the happiness of others. It's wanting for your brother and sister what you want for yourself. It's acting in accordance with divine will, understanding that our own will needs to come into alignment with the divine will so that we live in a manner that reflects our, what Sufis call our fana, our annihilation in God, so that we can live with God here, which is our bakar, our subsistence with God. And that way we're carrying God's light into the world. We're carrying God's love into the world. We're carrying God's mercy into the world. Another principle is to be open. To love, to spiritual yearning, to this delight and ecstasy of God's reality. To being able to discern the voices within you, discern the divine mysteries and the meanings of surface events. I'm reminded of a time when our guide, Sidi, had an orphanage in Jerusalem in Palestine, and it was bulldozed by the Israeli government. And he was so calm about it, I was a little surprised, and I asked. And he said, "Oh, if you could only see what I see, you would see in this act, all the angels were coming down to help bring peace, to help support the building of yet another that was going to serve more people." Well, you know, our lives would be so much richer if we could see the meaning behind some of these surface events that are happening, where we could understand some of the divine mysteries. And that requires another principle of being content with what God brings, whether it's what's known as the Jamal in Sufism, the beauty, or the Jalal, the majesty. Another principle is struggling against worldly ambitions or illusions, forgetting that this world is not eternal. This is not an eternal world. This world is constantly changing. And that what we want to stay connected to is the non-changing reality of this one reality that I was talking about earlier. To remember that we have truth in one's heart, that there's a sincerity and a purity of our intention, that the principle of acquiring knowledge and understanding the Gnostic sciences. I have a course at the university. It's called The Reality of Gnosis that helps you understand this Gnostic science. And the other principle is being able to follow a perfected spiritual master's guidance. We were fortunate in having that in our guide CD and in all the books and teachings and stories and gifts and practices that he's given us. This is really a journey. Your journey home is really a journey to know yourself. The great Sufi master that said, when you know yourself, you know your Lord. So we're remembering that we are divine, that we are holy, that we are beauty. And the walking of the Sufi way, the walking of the stations, is this journey home, is this experience of there is no God but the One. La ilaha illallah. And this practice of remembrance or dhikr helps to remind us of this. In our Sufi teachings, we learn that the value of these practices is that they strengthen us so that we can stand strong in the face of any storm and continue to look deeply at any situation from a different perspective or a different eye. Our spiritual sense, it helps us deal with adversity. It's not so hard to stand strong when all's going well, but when we're tested, when we have times of adversity, this is when the practices can help strengthen our inner being to support us in these times of adversity. The Quran says, with every hardship comes ease. With every hardship comes ease. So we want to remember that ease. Every day we're given opportunities to make choices that affect our life. The resistances that we have, they grow out of thoughts that come from our mind or from our experiences rather than from our divine connection. And the practice of remembrance, the practice of the Sufi way, helps us to connect to that this divine within. It helps us to accept and understand with gratitude and appreciation. And that allows us to feel better about ourselves and more connected. Our guide used to always remind us that God loves you more than you love yourself. And that's what the practices are doing, is they're reminding you of the love that God has for you. We talk in Sufism of the white mind. And our white mind knows that what we see in another is just a reflection of a part in ourselves. So, for example, if we have a reaction to anger in somebody else, then it's a reflection sometimes of our own unresolved issues with anger. Just as we might judge another, one part of ourselves judges other parts within ourselves. So the practices seek unity, not only with others, but more importantly within ourselves, so that all these unresolved issues that we carry around can be purified and brought to unity. The quality of our life is determined by the choices that we make. So God says that I don't change something within a person until they change it within themselves. So we're constantly looking at what are the choices that we're making, which is why one of the first steps on the path is about forgiveness. It's about how to wipe the slate clean. As I said before, we all make mistakes. And one of the other Journey Home series, my co-president will be talking about forgiveness. But we need to remember that it's important to see the face of God in others. Because when we look at others in a way that makes them less than us, it only shows us our own weakness. And that judgment separates ourselves from our heart as well as our fellow mankind, our brothers and sisters. So the mistakes of others are just mirrors in which we can see parts of our own nature and our own reflection. I don't have time in this particular seminar teleclass to go into mirrors, but it's a huge topic in and of itself and part of the experience of Journey Home. But what the practices are doing is planting seeds in our heart so that by continuing to do the practices, we're watering with the flow of love and compassion and mercy and patience so that our heart fills with love. And this love, it attracts more love. And the love starts to penetrate the barriers that we've put up or the defenses that we've put up in our heart that blocked its flow. And as these barriers break, it's like a dam that breaks. The water, the love starts to flow again. The pain inside is washed away in a river flowing towards this ocean of the real love, this ocean of mercy, as we call it. And we start at once to experience this sensation, this principle that I talked about earlier, of the love that created us. God says that I was a secret treasure that desired to be known, so I placed my secrets inside the hearts of my beloved. And to get to these secrets inside, we need to explode, if you will, the mountain of our existence to discover treasures. The remembrance or the repetition of the divine names or a divine name or the divine name of God that in Sufism we call Allah. This remembrance keeps the heart open so that we can continue to be nourished and be supported. Just the vibration alone of the syllable Ah is an opening of our heart. When we combine that with surrender to God, when we feel ourselves prostrating with all our being, when we allow our arrogance to turn to humility, when we're able to let go of what we hold on to, then we begin to trust in our life and in our love. There's a great a Sufi story about a man who wanted to learn how to swim and get to an island, and he went to his swimming instructor, and he said, I want to learn to swim. And the instructor said, do you want to make a bargain about it? And he said, no, I only have to take my ton of cabbage. And the instructor was kind of confused and said, what cabbage? And the person said, the food that I'll need when I go over to that other island. And the swimming instructor said, oh, no, you don't need that. There's better food over there. And the person who wanted to swim said, I don't know what you mean. I can't be sure. I have to take this garbage with me. And the instructor said, well, you can't swim with a ton of garbage on your back. And the man said, well, then I can't go. You call it a burden, a load, but I call it my essential nutrition. So the person goes off and says, the instructor tries to tell him that the garbage is just part of his assumptions or destructive ideas, and he doesn't get it and says, I'm going to take my cabbage to some other instructor who understands my needs. And this is what we do to ourselves. We carry around all this garbage, all this cabbage that we don't really need. And we think it's important. We think that this is going to protect us or this is going to help us, when what we really need to do is let it go for something better. And this is what the prostration and the surrender is all about. In one of our texts called Music of the Soul, Sidi writes that true prostration is complete surrender. So come in this surrender to God. Prostrate in the way of the angels. The angels prostrated when God created Adam to that divinity within Adam. Prostrate with all your heart, because this is where God sits. This is the house of your Lord. See everything as a manifestation of God and annihilate into the qualities of God. This is the real pardon for our mistakes. And then we can see with different eyes, hear with different ears, and feel with a different heart. And this is the first part of the love that God breathed into all of creation, breathed into existence. And the second part of the love is the return, in which the creature in which breathes his existence back into his Lord. This is the what we call the fana and the baka. This is the journey to God and our journey back to the world in God. So I want to invite you all to look inward, to find this holy essence of your heart, and the truth that it contains, to clean your heart Our guide says you must remember the name at all times. I'd like to take you through the experience of La ilaha illallah, because La ilaha illallah means there is no God but the One, contains every secret and everything that it's known. It's one of the highest forms of remembrance. In both its revealed and unrevealed states, it's a fortress and a protection for you and a reminder of this divine oneness. So, if you'll all be willing, let's have an experience. And take a deep breath. And just let yourself feel the ah of Allah. Feel that letting go of all the tension from the day. Letting go of all the maybe confusing or paradoxical things in the explanation. Letting go of trying to understand. So that your heart can taste. Letting go of expectations. You don't want to stand on the shore understanding the ocean. We want to go into the ocean and start to swim, to experience, to gain the knowledge that I talked about. So you can either listen and feel the vibration, or you can chant along with me. It's very simple. It's La ilaha illallah. We're going to emphasize the ill of the third syllable there. So, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Just allow the vibration of La ilaha illallah to polish the mirror of your heart so that you can come to know your Creator, both in the Creator's transcendence, greater than this created world, and in His immanence, present in everything. So that you become an expression of love that heals your heart and heals humanity. That you become loving, loving, loving seekers on the path of unconditional love. The kindness and mercy and compassion towards yourself and others becomes commonplace. Becomes your reality. Because this is your journey home. So, Master, if you want to open it up for questions or sharing experiences.
Yeah, sure. So there's a few ways that you can ask questions. If you're on the phone, you can press *2, and we'll let you ask your question live, and it will be on the recording. If you have a question and you'd like it to not end up on the recording, I'm happy to edit it out. But initially it will be on the recording. So that's *2 if you're on the phone. If you're on watching from the Pathios blog site, you can scroll down to the bottom of the page and type your question or comment experience into the chat area, into the comment section, and I'll transfer that information to Selima. If you're on the internet on the Instant Teleseminar, you can also type in to the Q&A section that's at the bottom of that page as well. So there's three different ways you can ask questions. On the Instant Teleseminar website, at the bottom where it says Q&A, type in your question and just press enter. If you're on the phone, *2. Or if you're on the blog post on pathios.com, just type in at the bottom. So we have a question from the phone. This is from area code 650. You are now unmuted. Would you like to ask your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Layla.
Hi, Layla. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the class and for all the light that was sent. And I have kind of personal question. I've been asking myself if I should go to the year 4 or not this time. Because I went to the retreat to the center for Hajj. And I asked Amina, and really the ministry is happening this year. And then I was actually meditating a lot and asking Allah, and it doesn't come. So I don't know if I should go or not.
Why wouldn't you go is what I would say. Why not take all the blessings that you can from God? Don't deprive yourself of anything that God wants to share with you. Give yourself an opportunity to explore how to use your light in the world.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Salima. I love you.
I love you, too. I look forward to seeing you soon. Any other questions out there?
Oops, I'm sorry. I was speaking and I was on mute. There is a question from area code 509. You're now unmuted.
This is Celia. Hi, Salima.
Hi.
And that was a beautiful teleclass. My question is, I've, in my deep heart, wanted to go to the healing school for like 11 years.
Oh.
And I got to see CD for Ramadan last year. It's the first time I'd been to the land. And he said he gave me permission that I could come to the healing school. And the only thing that stopped me is finances. So do you see in the future that I may be able to go to the healing school? It embodies everything that I believe in my deep heart, and I want to be a light into the world, giving all praises to God.
Yeah. Well, number one, you are that light, so remember that. And number two, do you remember what I said in the beginning of the teleclass about being the daughter of your moment?
Yes.
Yeah, so why wait? Be the daughter of your moment. Apply now. We have, I don't know how much support you need, but we do have scholarships and work study available. So put your application in. What I found is intention makes a huge difference. So when you set your intention, and let Allah know, this is in my heart, this is what I really want, please help me.
Okay.
And let the university staff and the admissions counselors know what your circumstances are, so they can help you walk through that and give you the support that you need so that you can come to school in October, I think, is when year one starts.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I will do that.
Great. I will look forward to getting your application and say a special prayer and blessing over it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And my heart's just been drawn because the unity and the love and the for all of humanity.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing what's in your heart. This is Mestora. If I can just give a little bit more information about that. First, I just want to say thank you for sharing what is in your heart, because it is feels so beautiful and so sincere. That when I believe when something like that is so strong and we feel so much passion in our hearts, that it comes not from us but from God putting that in our hearts to draw us to where he wants to lead us. So, you know, I would just say if that feels right for you, to put your trust there and say yes. Just, you know, bring yourself heart to heart, face to face, eye of the heart to eye of the heart with God and say, yes, you draw me here. I say yes to this. Show me how this is going to open. I am here. I'm showing up. I'm saying yes. Open the door. I like to ask for flashing neon personally, but you know what? When I ask in that way, I get it. I really do, and I'm not kidding. I could give you a number of different instances where when I've felt something that strong in my heart and it's shown up. And then on the practical sense, to speak with an enrollment specialist that Salima is referring you to, you can go to sufiuniversity.org/info.
Okay.
Theuniversity.org/info, and you'll see like three little things in a row there. The one on the right is click here to speak with to schedule a chat with an enrollment specialist, and so you can click on that. And that goes for anyone listening who may feel drawn and who wants to speak with our enrollment specialist. They're beautiful people. They've all been through the program on the path for a very long time, and they're very good at helping you to say yes to whatever is in your heart and whatever you're being drawn to, whatever is going to serve you in the highest, God willing. So that's SupiUniversity.org.
Thank you, Nestra.
Yeah, thank you.
So where are you living now?
Where am I living? I live in Walla Walla, Washington.
Okay. I want to give you some support, too, with some of the beloveds who are up in Walla Walla.
Yes, yes. I have seen Lisa Salemi, Samaya, which has really helped my heart. But thank you so much for giving me hope that I will get to go to the healing school.
It is in your future. It is part of your destiny, that I am sure.
Oh, that really makes my heart happy. Thank you so much.
Delilah.
Thank you.
Many blessings. Thank you.
Blessings for you. So I'll just say again, any questions, if you're on the phone, press *2. If you're on the webcast, you can either type it into the Q&A box on the screen from Instant Teleseminar or scroll down to the bottom of the Patheos blog post and type into the comment section. So, Salim, I'll hand it back over to you for now.
Any more questions out there, Master?
I'm not seeing the questions in the moment.
Okay. Well, if there aren't any more questions, I think I've covered what I would like to share and give to the folks that are on the call tonight. And
okay. Well, one more just came in. You want one more?
Okay.
Okay. So area code 407, you're unmuted.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum.
My name is Todd.
Todd.
And yes, can you explain, because I'm new and don't know very much about Sufism or Tasawuf. I'm very interested in it because of the, I guess what you would say, the desire to be nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God. I'm very, very, very new. I've never done this. I don't know very much about Tasawuf at all.
So what would you like to know?
What is its values and essence? I am a Muslim, but I looked at Sufism, and I am just extremely interested in learning about it and knowing more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sufism is the purification of the heart that allows the heart to have a clear mirror to see the reflection of God in everything in creation, and most importantly, the secrets and the treasures that God placed inside your heart. It allows you to understand the deeper meanings behind the pillars of Islam, or any faith for that matter, but specifically in Islam, what is the deeper significance? What are some of the esoteric meaning behind the five pillars? It also helps us turn our heart so that our heart is facing the one and not the many. So it brings our heart into prostration so that we become true servants of God, allowing the light that God placed inside of our heart to come out into the world in service. It's an inner journey to God through what we call the stations of the way, the stations of the self, the stations of the heart, the stations of the soul, and the stations of the secret. So it's a journey through those stations to know yourself so that you can know your Lord.
Okay. Where would one begin? You have someone who has to kind of guide you along the steps. Where would
right.
one go? I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Where are you?
In Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida. I believe Imani is very close to Orlando. So if you go on the Sufi University website, one of the faculty at our university, her name is Imani Shebly. She is in near the Orlando area, and she can help support you. What we will do is, Master, if you'll get Todd's information, we can get him hooked up with Imani so he can begin to have a teacher and a guide to support him.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Imani is a beautiful, amazing woman, and she has a, I was trying to think of the name, she has a center there where she teaches in Orlando. So if you want to...
And she'll be doing the next Journey Home class, will she not?
Yes, as a matter of fact, in 2 weeks she will
okay.
be. But
so
you don't want to wait 2 weeks. You want to get in touch with her before then. Go ahead and you can send me an email, Todd. My email is Mastura, M as in Mary, A, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, U-R-A, Mastura, at SufiUniversity.org. So go ahead and send me an email, and I'll send you back information on how to get in touch with Imani so that you can look her up between now and then. She's got some great offerings there, and she's an amazing woman.
Okay, I have a SufiUniversity.org as a website saved as a bookmark.
Okay.
Are you the faculty there, or what would I, MS store? Let me get a pen. Because I'm,
okay.
Are you on the website where as like a instructor or something, or somehow you're placed before, on the website with your email?
I'm on the website. My email's not there. But
okay.
You could also just email info@sufiuniversity.org. That one might be easier, INFO, because I get that one also.
Okay. Let me find a pen so I can write you.
Okay. All right. So, Salima, meanwhile, we have had a couple of questions come in, one on the, you know, through the written panel, and another one that's raised a hand. So, Todd, you got a pen yet?
How about I give you my email? Would that be easier for you?
Well, okay. Yeah, we'll do that quick, and then we're going to go to two more questions. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's T-Phil, T-P-H-I-L, 31960@gmail.com.
Okay, got it. T-Phil31960@gmail.
Yes.
Okay.
And that way I can return an email to you.
Okay, awesome. All right, I'll send you an email in a bit. All right, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
So let's see.
Thank
I want to go
Todd.
To – thank you, Todd. I'm going to go to area
thank
code
you.
407, and then we'll go to one that's in writing. 407, you're unmuted.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. We can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was happy to hear that there's other 407s on the phone. I wanted to tell Todd that I'm actually studying with Imani here in Orlando. We used to study at the Nurse Center, but she recently started her own group called Insight here in Orlando. So once he gets in contact with her, we do meet Friday and Saturdays to discuss different topics that he can get more information about. But I wanted just to share that with him, that there are other people in the area that are definitely on this path.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
No, no problem. I know how difficult it can be to find people that are on the same path, but I believe once you find them, then, you know, it all connects from that point, which kind of leads me to my question. I'm not sure really if you can offer insight on it. My last meeting with Amani, I had a dream where there was a man smoking hookah underwater, which he told me that was a very common thing for a Sidi to do, is smoke hookah.
Mm-hmm.
And in this dream, I came to a fountain, a lake, and he was actually smoking, like, under the water, which Amani said that, you know, that could symbolize, like, the knowledge in that. But there, above the water, there was fish that were in their own bubbles, but they were all connected. And then there was one fish that did not have their bubble, but I was able to give them the bubble again. And this is when I saw, you know, the man under the water. But I didn't know, maybe in Sufism, if it has some kind of significance as far as you could share with me, or it's just something that I have been thinking about today that I wanted to ask you, because I'm sure you studied a lot of symbols and I don't know, whatever you would like to share would be great.
There's two things that I'd like to share with you. The first is that you're a giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and this the dream, it was helping you see that aspect of yourself as a giver, a helper, and
uh-huh.
a healer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is an invitation to dive deep in that ocean. Don't stay on the surface. Let
mm-hmm.
yourself go into the fana. You know, go into the ocean of that mercy and let your
mm-hmm.
being dissolve so that it's all love and all mercy. And that's
mm-hmm.
what the man with the hookah was inviting you to do.
Yeah, mashallah, very sweet. Thank you. Yeah, I think that has been the number one thing I've known for a long time, what my purpose is or my calling, just not to say avoiding it, but I definitely have been more on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely register.
Yep.
Yep. But
I'm not on the surface anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let me.
Yeah.
But yeah, inshallah, I researched your school out there, and hopefully in the future I will be attending some things. At least for now, I have Amani here in Orlando, which... Thank you for sharing your resources with us.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Thank you.
For those of you that aren't familiar with the word alhamdulillah, it just means all thanks to God.
Thank you. Okay, so one more Salima is in coming through the webcast. It says, the teachings tonight were beautiful and fed my heart. I was born and raised a Christian. Is there a place for me in the school?
Absolutely. But if you remember, one of the first things that I said is this path makes no separation and no difference. Our guide used to say, I love Jesus more than you do. So very much so. That you'll find resonance with the love and a deepening of your own roots as you explore this path of Sufism and a deepening of your love. So, absolutely, without question.
Beautiful. And I'll add to that one of the things that he said, it's at the very beginning of one of his first books, is that if all of the people of every religion knew their religion well, there would be only one religion, and that is the religion of love and peace and mercy and justice and equality and freedom. And, you know, when you really feel that yearning in the heart that some of the people who have spoken tonight have talked about, where they really feel that drawn, they really feel that call, and they just want to be with God, they just want to know God. And a lot of what Salima has talked about really diving into the ocean and let yourself to dissolve into that ocean of love and mercy and compassion, to be one, subsisting in that ocean, one with God, that has no religion. They say God has no religion. That's a thing of the human being. And really, this is that place where these teachings in this school is coming from. That place,
the unity is the unity, and the unity is about divine oneness.
Yes,
and that's the beauty. Whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, it's about the unity and how to arrive at this divine oneness. That's our journey home.
Yes, the journey home. So if you would like more information about anything that you've heard tonight, or any of the programs, the other programs that we have at the university, I have a couple of options for you. Number one, we have that page that I was giving to Todd earlier, or to whoever that was. It's SufiUniversity.org/info. S as in Sam, U, F as in Frank, I, University.org/info. You can register there. You can sign up to schedule a chat with one of our enrollment specialists, and they can answer any questions. You don't have to be ready to enroll, putting in your application to speak with them. If you are, great, but that's not a requirement. They can tell you about any of the programs that we have. They can tell you about you know, whatever we've got going on that you may want more information about. Now, in about a week and a half, not this next Monday, but a week from this coming Monday, which is September the 26th, Salima, and as I mentioned earlier, Salima is one of two co-presidents of the university. She and Kamala Shenman, who is the other co-president, are offering a Q&A session to answer. It's going to be a live, probably a much smaller group than this, but a live interactive call where if you have any questions about the university programs, and in particular the Masters of Divinity, but anything about the programs that are offered, they will take your questions, answer your questions, and, you know, it can be down to the nitty-gritty details of what to expect. And you're invited to that as well. Now, if you're on the Pathios, I think that's probably the quickest way to get to a link to that. If you go to essenceoftheone.com, and as I said, scroll down, it's about the fourth post down that says live stream. It's the title of this teleclass, Sufism Explored and Experienced. Sufism Explored and Experienced. Look for that post, and there's a link in that post to join Salima and Kamala on that Q&A call. And they're both very accessible, very easy to talk to. You can ask them anything, and I'm volunteering you for that, Salima.
Oh, thank you. It will be my pleasure to answer any questions that anybody has about the university.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So any final words from you, Salima?
I just want to thank everybody for the sincerity in your hearts, the warmth, the beauty that I feel as I've been listening to you and as you've been listening to me, and wish you all much happiness and success, and may God continue to guide your way home. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Salima, and thank you to all of you who have been with us today. Thank you for spending your time with us, and this recording is available on that blog post that I mentioned, so feel free to share it with anyone that you feel may enjoy it or may benefit from anything that's been shared here this evening. We welcome you and thank you again. And that page, essenceoftheone.com, about the fourth post down for Sufism Explored and Experienced. Also, you can go to SufiUniversity.org/info, I-N-F-O. So thank you very much. Have a beautiful evening.